Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for July the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we absolutely believe must be embraced in modern days. The checks and balances are key to the restoration. So is a moral people. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. It is a faith-filled, fantastic Freedom Loving Friday, folks. And you know what? We interviewed a lady a couple days ago, and she's the one that talked about a faith-filled Friday. I loved it. Good for her. We're talking about Karen Grant, who's going to be doing a show every Monday at noon on the Loving Liberty Radio Network. And her show is about Joy Life Coaching. So it's a show, it's not really for females, it's for everyone. But certainly a lot of females are Joy Life Coaches. And what's the difference between a life coach and a Joy Life Coach and a, you know, et cetera? You learn about all that from Karen. She does a phenomenal job. And anyway, that kicked off last Monday with her first episode. And she's got more to go, so beware of that coming up. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale, and donate today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, first off, a recap of yesterday's show. We had on Brian Rust, RustCoinAgift.com. We talked about honest money. We talked about Men's Warehouse parent may have to shutter or close up to 500 stores. No one's buying a suit in the coronavirus pandemic, folks. We also talked about a better way to reduce unemployment. Proven successful in Germany, they say, where the rate tops out at like 6%. The problem, Kurt says, is everybody's working like part-time. So everybody's got like, you know, a 10-hour job or something. Problem is it doesn't pay the bills, right? And then I brought up the book written by Timothy Ferris. It's even an audio book. It's called The 4-Hour Work Week. So there you have that. We talked about a grim new report shows. Rent is unaffordable in every state. HuffPost.com, and we talked about it. We talked about how they're right. It is unaffordable. But what they want to do is create more socialism. Their conclusions are wrong. What they want to do is run around and say, now we got to have a greater minimum wage. Now we got to have rent controls, price controls. The answer always in their Hegelian dialectic narrative is more government. We reject that notion and say the reason that we have the problem we have is because of all the government controls. Look at them in minimum wage in America, $7.25. Most folks are paying well over $7.25 everywhere you go. Okay, so what does that minimum wage floor even do? Get rid of it. Okay, rent controls, price controls. This has got to stop. You know, saying that restaurants have a special privilege where they can pay people less, but yet, you know, because of tips, it makes it up. Government regulation on just about everything. That's all got to stop. Secondarily, you know what? Dishonest money, fiat money. And we documented how a silver eagle silver dollar right now cost almost $30. Well, if a silver dollar costs $30, but it says it's worth a dollar, that means our currency has been debased 30 times. We took home values, the average home in America, 250 to 300 grand, depending on, you know, what study you cite. You divide that by 30 and you come back with a number that's shocking. 300 grand divided by 30 is what? 10 grand? Yeah, the average home in 1963 was like 18 grand. And that was right after we decoupled gold and pegged gold at $35 an ounce and did all those other manipulations. Well, I guess that was a little bit before then. But the slide had been coming as we slowly started to move to the fake fiat system put in place in 1913, right? Anyway, it just got progressively worse. No wonder. Just imagine if you had a dollar silver eagle. Silver dollar is really worth the buying power of 30 times that. Anyway, we digress, except for constitutional money is the only answer. You return to less government, less regulation, and you return to honest constitutional asset-based currency, and voila, the crisis is over. Will it take some time? You might actually get back to a 4-hour work week, huh? All right, that was hour one. Hour two, we talked about 74 New Yorkers. I guess got false positives. Well, they didn't really have the corona. I say new New Yorkers because I guess they were new tests that were, what, never taken? Oh, those were taken, I guess, and they were positive, but they were really negative. In Connecticut, they're reporting dozens of false positive coronavirus tests. So now you got New York and Connecticut. Governor DeSantis, he's down in Florida from what I understand, calls for an investigation now because he says people who weren't even tested got positive results for the corona down there. So, what, Connecticut to New York to Florida? People who never took tests are being told they're COVID positive. How accurate are the coronavirus numbers? Keelan McGreen with InfoWars documents some of this. And then they run around and tell you it's just an isolated incident. It's kind of like the vote fraud. It's nowhere but everywhere, right? How deadly, by the way, is COVID-19? Researchers, they say, are getting closer to telling you. They say it kills about 5 to 10 people for every 1,000 people infected. But the rate varies big time on age and access to medical care and all that kind of stuff. The feds, I guess a visiting Stanford researcher, lied about Chinese military connections. Turned out to be a operative for the Chinese Communist government. Signed up as a professor in America. What do you say to that? Millions of Americans, though, are not buying the official coronavirus death count. They say the real count is much less than we're being told. Well, the government wants you to believe, and the media act like it's much more. The fact is, it's all over the map, and they haven't a clue. Google promises coronavirus tracing. They say tech is private, but they're still collecting location data. What's up with that? Sounds like the government where George Bush said, well, we're not really monitoring everybody's locations and conversations, just the people that are dealing with, you know, terrorists overseas, and then later forced to admit, oh, it was everybody. That kind of stuff, right, Google? Anthony Fauci, whacked out guy, tried to throw the first pitch for the Washington Nationals baseball game for the opener of the season. I guess he's not too good of a pitcher. Maybe he had to go back to I don't know what. He's been a panic-driven scientist, doctor guy forever, right? Why would we have that guy throw the first pitch anyway? I mean, what's up with that political move? Anthony Fauci does not believe that the coronavirus will ever be eradicated. Well, that's a positive view for a physician. What a negative. The guy's a goof, man. Dollar Tree and Family Dollar doing right, folks. Will not, I say again, will not require shoppers to wear masks. Good for Dollar Tree and Family Dollar. They're taking the opposite approach of most. Michigan, I guess Hillsdale College graduation there, broke law, they say, despite the masks and social distancing. Wow, the college says that its expressive activity was much safer than the governor's Black Lives Matter march. Well, they're right about that. I don't get how they broke the law. Anyway, there's a big battle going on there. I think the problem with Hillsdale is they're Christian. And the governor and the haters over there just cannot stand that, huh? Tax hikes in a pandemic? You think it sounds absurd? Some states and cities are saying, absolutely. We're going to hike your taxes, buddy. Talking about adding insult to injury. And then Kurt brought up, all you got to do is have the government give a windfall of cash so that you can pay your taxes, see? The feds will give you money to pay to your city and your state. And it's just whacked out crazy. We also talked about the arms industry. Gun buys are up 95%. Ammo's up 139%. Sales to blacks jump 58%. Paul Bettard, what do you think about guns going into the hands of blacks? You know, they think us white people would freak out on that, and I don't. All I know is we as Americans should stand shoulder to shoulder to stop the rioters and the thugs. If black people, men and women, feel like they need to have a protection mechanism, a rape me not, a kill me not, a rob me not is what I like to call them, then by all means, to the law-abiding black Americans that are our brothers and sisters, by all means, you have the Second Amendment too, don't you know? Anyway, good for all them folks, you know? Trump raises $20 million from 300,000 donors. Yeah, Donald Trump Jr. kind of leading that effort. Quite a bit of money raised. It just shows you. They tried to tell me it was the first online digital fundraising ever. But Ron Paul did that back in the day and raised about $6 million in a day. That was, what, 2008, 2012? I can't remember which. But either way, quite a bit ago, many years ago, in the not-so-digital era, comparatively speaking. So Trump doing pretty good, and I commend him and his son. And I hope they raise more, and I hope they win. But look, they got too much money in politics. I'll tell you that right now. U.S. closes Chinese consulate in Houston. I guess they say over privacy and IP theft concerns. So it's all digital, and they got hacked, and they had to close the whole thing down. Jeff Bezos' fortune, that's the Amazon owner, Jeff Bezos' fortune grows literally $13 billion in a single day as lockdowns boost the outlook for online retail. And I look at that and I go, what? It, you know, only in a dishonest money situation could somebody raise, what, $13 billion? Or have their business grow $13 billion in a single day? And if you divide that time, you know, $13 billion divided by 30, it's a lot less money. If you were to use that example I used earlier, you know, honest money seems to hold extremes in check. And $13 billion in a day is certainly extreme. We talked about Planned Parenthood to remove Margaret Sanger from their, quote, flagship abortion clinic. Look, she was a racist eugenist, folks. What I find interesting is the right groups are allowed to jettison their racist past. But, of course, the founding fathers and white people never will. But organizations that murder and plunder and, you know, et cetera, they'll be able to jettison their past. Like a lot of the universities and black Planned Parenthood, they all can just get a pass on their slavery origins, right? No problem for those guys. Quick pause. The good sheriff's with us this Freedom Loving Friday.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, the recap is over. Hard-hitting news starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Sam. The good sheriff's with us, Sheriff Richard Mack. Welcome back.
Thanks, Sam, and appreciate being with you on this beautiful Friday morning.
Yes, it is a beautiful Friday morning. It's a faith-filled Friday morning, and it's also Pioneer Day. You say, what is that? Well, July 24th is Pioneer Day in the Olympic State of Utah. And, you know, we got to explain a little bit what Pioneer Day is. But as the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, back then nicknamed the Mormons, you know, they started out, Joseph Smith was in New York, Palmyra, New York, primarily. And, you know, before that, he lived in Vermont. But anyway, they basically eventually made a trek all the way across the United States, trying to live in Missouri, forced out. Eventually in Nauvoo, Illinois, built a big city at the time, rivaled Chicago. That was back in, you know, the 1830s kind of a range, 1840s. And as this all happened, eventually there was a Governor Boggs extermination order given to the Mormons, and they were literally forced out. They tried to go to the President of the United States, Mr. Van Buren, at the time, and he said, "Your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you." And so the Governor Boggs forced them out, and they were forced out eventually of Nauvoo, Illinois. Governor Boggs was in Missouri, and there was an extermination order. They eventually fled and left the United States. While they were literally trying to leave the United States, bloody feet in the middle of winter by force, because again, there was a, you know, shoot on sight, all Mormons kind of a thing, men, women, and children. See, the Mormons have been abused more than any other group in the United States. I challenge anybody to defy that statement. But anyway, nevertheless, they were leaving the United States, trying to head to a territory in Utah. It wasn't called Utah then. The Mormons called it Deseret back in the day, after the prosperous honeybee. Nevertheless, as they were leaving, the government had need for those they were kicking out. And the government said, "Can you please help us in the Mexican War?" And believe it or not, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the males, left their women and children in the wilderness and did go help the United States. That just shows how dedicated we, as members of the church, are to the greatest country on the face of the earth, despite the mistakes made. And I say that for a reason. Despite the mistakes made. And you know what? We don't like some of the things the United States does, but we still realize that, you know what? It's God's location to prepare a people for his return. And you know what? We're not saying we're better than anybody else on the earth, but we are saying it's a Christian nation. And it's a nation that believes in waiting for Jesus Christ to return. And the founding fathers understood clearly that, you know what, we don't look to government for solutions. We realize the necessity of limited government, but we really depend upon and rely upon God. And God, if we keep his commandments, can use government to protect us. But remember, our great country was only made for a moral people. It is unfit for the governing of any other. So a self-governing people that believe in God are manageable by a very limited government. The problem is we're jettisoning the moral principles that allow us to be a God-fearing, self-governing, led by God people. Nevertheless, I digress, except to say Pioneer Day celebrates when the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and their prophet at the time, Brigham Young, arrived in the Great Basin, or in now what we know as Salt Lake City, Utah. Anyway, it's a celebratory day, kind of like July the 4th, but a little different. It's Pioneer Day. We do let off fireworks and barbecue and have a great time. And a lot of us celebrate that history. And I think that's wonderful history to celebrate. And I thought the nation ought to know about it, Sheriff.
Yeah, and it's kind of a sad deal. In most of the big Arizona places where they have huge 24th of July celebrations, Pioneer Day, they've been canceled.
And this is the first it's all because of the COVID, sir.
There's the first time that anybody can remember ever having to cancel one.
Yeah, everything has to be canceled because of the COVID, don't you know?
Yeah, of course.
You know, what? It doesn't matter what problem. I arrived late yesterday to an event, and when I walked in, I said, "Sorry, guys, we're late. It's because of the COVID." I don't know why. I'm just saying everything is because of the COVID, right? Kurt, everything is because of the COVID, sir. Doesn't matter what you're doing, what went wrong, it's because of the COVID. I mean, isn't that what we've kind of gone
Amen
to?
That.
It's insane, yes, people. Sir. It's just insane. All right, well, anyway, I digress, except for to say, here's the interesting thing. I believe in these celebrations, and I understand the historical relevance and all that kind of stuff, but there's an article printed in I think it's the Salt Lake Tribune today, and it says this. LDS, so Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so this guy is a member of the church, LDS, Native American teacher, envisions a Pioneer Day that celebrates all Utahns. Now, he's a Navajo, and he wants to, you know, do this. He's a member of the church. He's all these things. Do you know where he's going with this, Sheriff?
No, I don't think so.
All right, it's all over the land, my friend. See, the Native Americans were here before the white Mormon came, and well, they tried to accommodate them, and they were peacefully getting along at first. But then, hey, the Native Americans, the Indians, felt threatened, and they had to fight back. And then there was some bad spots. And he wants, you know, the Native Americans to be able to take part in the harvest as well. And, you know, he just says, you stole the land. You meaning the Mormons or the folks who settled the West.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting to me about that, he says that, you know, the peoples of yesteryear, 11,000 years ago or so, they, you know, stumbled across the, what do they call that, the Bering Strait? Right? So they came over from Russia or whatever?
Yes, over to Alaska.
Yeah. So he says that, and, you know, I look at it and I go, you know, I don't even know how to debate 11,000 years ago. You know, biblically speaking, Adam was the first man on the earth about 6,000 years ago. You know, then you got to get into a discussion of Neanderthal men and, you know, we came from apes and, you know, I mean, it gets to be very complex. Here's what I would say, though. You know what? We battled over the land and groups have taken the land. I mean, before we, meaning the members of the church or white people settled the West or settled even this nation for that matter, there was groups here, no doubt about it. But understand those groups have been fighting for centuries as well, taking the land from one another and conquering each other and everything else. Why do we then all of a sudden say, well, the Indians are all unified against the whites when they fought for the land before? At the end of the day, I don't know whose land is whose, except for those who obey God can peacefully coexist on the land, and those who don't obey God will get swept off the land anyway. And I guess I don't understand his point or the argument exactly at all, except to say in modern days, you know what? The government's got all the land. And so maybe, you know, I was saying yesterday, maybe the government ought to give everybody an acre and leave us the heck alone. But never, I digress, except to say all these battles are about land. And believe it or not, the guy that even created Chaz, this rapper in Portland, Oregon, where they're having riots for I don't know how many days now, literally it's about the land. He's considered a warlord. And it's all over land, every bit of all this fighting. Do you have a comment, Sheriff?
Well, I think the land issue is a huge part of it. I mean, that's where power and money come from. And if you're a landowner, you've got status and you've got opportunity and you've got money, at least a huge opportunity for money. And I mean, you could sell the land for that matter. And it owning land, it makes me feel good to know that I own some land, a small portion of it. But you're absolutely correct about the fact that the government is trying to own the land, and especially in the West. And it's wide open spaces, and they say if anything is there, it's ours. And the federal government saying that. Arizona belongs to Arizona, not the federal government. And it's ridiculous that Nevada is 90% owned by the feds, and Arizona is 75% owned by the feds. Utah is about, what, 50-60%?
Yeah, it's even more, though. It's more like, if you want to talk about government lands in terms of the feds and or school lands, I think it's closer to 85, isn't it, Kurt?
It might be, but the thing of it is, Utah is the only state in the Union that has fought back to take back some of their land, and I like that. Go ahead.
They fought back, but not too successfully, Kurt.
Well, agreed. You know, I mean, we got to get all 100%.
All I can tell you is, you know, the land's a big issue. But, you know, on Pioneer Day when we celebrate, though, this Indian guy literally saying, hey, you know what, we're not represented here. The land was ours before it was y'all's. And I think we need to step back from that argument. Why don't we celebrate the Indian culture and the history of everybody that's come to the Rocky Mountains or to what's known now as Utah? Why don't we celebrate all of our histories and who we are? And, you know, can't we obey God and get along on the land together? Because if we don't, no one's going to have a right to the land. Because whose land is it really? Is it the Indians or is it mine or yours or the government's? Or whose land is it? Let's talk about it on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
two Christopher Columbus statues in Chicago are down after crews removed them in the middle of the night. A group of protesters were there watching and cheering as they removed the controversial statue in Grant Park with a crane. A second Columbus statue in Arago Park was taken down a little bit later. The removals following reports yesterday that Democratic Mayor Lori Lightfoot was planning to get rid of those statues. A week-long celebration of the life of the late Congressman John Lewis. Beginning today, the civil rights icon and 17-term congressman died a week ago after a battle with pancreatic cancer. He was 80 years old. Memorials are planned over the next week in Alabama, as well as Washington, D.C., and in Atlanta. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
Balance of Nature, no question. Your product's a great product. I mean, it's very, very good. I own a couple of businesses, so I'm on the go a lot. There's no doubt that the energy level increased. And again, your product is very, very good, and I couldn't live without it, thank you. I thank you for your time. Thank you for the information. And when you talk to Dr. Howard, give him my best and tell him he's got a great, great product.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
President Trump's announced he's going to be throwing out the first pitch at a New York Yankees game on the 15th of August.
And I say, how's the crowd going to be? And, you know, it's like you don't have a crowd. There is no such thing. It's going to be interesting.
Dr. Anthony Fauci threw out the first pitch last night at the MLB's first regular season game between the Nationals and the Yankees. Let's just say it was well out of the strike zone. The president switches course when it comes to his party's convention, as we hear from USA Radio's John Hunt.
President Donald Trump said he will no longer hold a large in-person Republican convention in Jacksonville, Florida, because of COVID-19, but will hold virtual events and give an acceptance speech.
But I looked at my team and I said, the timing for this event is not right, just not right with what's happened recently, the flare-up in Florida.
The president said he spoke with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis about the decision to cancel the convention, and that the governor had not pressured him to do so.
And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, you even heard on the commercial break, man, it's because of the COVID, don't you know? Everything is because of the COVID, isn't it now? Crazy town. All right, so the land is a big battle. And, you know, if we're going to go ahead and start taking back land based on who, quote, has a right to it, then I've got to roll on back to Nauvoo and take over a huge, huge section of Missouri. Of Illinois. And we can go back and take a huge section of Missouri where people were forced to leave their land. They never got properly compensated for it. See, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has probably some of the greatest claims of anyone anywhere. And I bring this up on Pioneer Day for a reason, Sheriff. But what we need to do, I don't believe we should do that. I'm just saying if anybody has the right to, that would be the one of the, I don't know what you want to say, greatest examples of wrong that needs to be, quote, corrected. However, I don't believe we should do that at all. What I think we should do is set the mistakes of the past aside. We should have a faith-filled Friday. We should talk about how we can work together in America. And you know what? Whose land is it, I asked? I submit to you that it's God's land. And those who obey him, and those who keep his commandments and acknowledge him, he will protect on this land. And if we don't do that, every one of us is going to get abused and kicked off the land. And so I look at it that way a little bit and say, let's get past all this. And hey, my Indian brother that wants to recognize Pioneer Day and remember his heritage relating thereto, by all means, set up booths about the Native Americans and let's learn and let's, you know, share foods and share stories and share relationships and share historical relevance and share our godly heritage and our American heritage. And let's bust out and do it, sir. That's my response, Sheriff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are a lot of comparisons between Native Americans and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and how we got kicked around and pushed around and extermination order and all of that. And we could dwell on the negative, but there's so many positive things about it, as you were alluding to. And you know, I'm going to tell you right now, though, if the reparations goes to the taxpayers towards black Americans who have now been free for generations. And
thank heavens for that, by the way.
Yeah, of course. You know what? I'll probably make a stink about that and say, well, then let's do it for everybody that has had abuse from government and pushed around. And it's more than just pushed around. I mean, we were burned out and kicked out. But you know what?
Hey, what group has had an extermination order shoot all men, women, and children on sight, sir? What group has had that? Nobody.
And for religious groups, definitely. It may have been done in practice in all pragmatism towards Native Americans.
Oh yes, and I'm not discounting that. But again, what about a codified order where even the state does this by law, and you go to the federal, to the president, and the president says your cause.
We'd all have to go obey Governor Boggs because it was a executive order. It was from the government, so we have to obey it, just like the church is obeying the churches, or a lot of churches, our church included, mask rules and
social distancing. Yeah, because of the COVID rules. I understand. Right, exactly. But we even went to the federal government in that case, the president, and asked him to give us a redress of grievance to help us, and he literally said, your cause is just. Even then, they documented that our cause was just, but I can do nothing for you.
See, and that's political fodder for every year, it seems like. You know, I'm not right now. What are the Democrats doing to help people? You know, they say they are, but at the same time, they are the ones making sure that people are bad off, unemployed, doing horrible, crash the economy, and even letting people get killed and mayhem happen in these major cities. And it's all politics because they want to make it look bad for Trump. And they'll do anything. And this just doesn't seem like it's ever changed since the beginning of the country, when they were pushing the Native Americans around as we went to the expansion west, and to the Mormons, as you mentioned, was our nickname at the time. And so, yeah, it's really like never has changed. It just seems like it's never changed. We just go from one abuse to another, and one group to another that we abuse in this country.
And then what we do is we hold on to the divide or the divisions forever, and they can never be overcome no matter what we do. Even if we give reparations, it'll still never be enough.
Oh, no, it won't.
All right, Kurt, what do you say of my proposal?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, as you said, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have definitely, if we're going to talk real reparations, they have a seat at the table. But I would suggest that we all just move forward from here. And whether you're a black person or a white person that was, you know, mistreated or whatever, you know, those are things of the past. And we got a lot of fixing to do to straighten things out right now.
And I don't even know what a Native American is, though, Sheriff, because I've been here and I was born here and my parents were born here. And, you know, anyway, I look at it and I don't really get what a Native American is either.
I refer to that because in my history classes, I try to get people not to say Indian because that's...
Yeah, those are the people from India, yeah.
They're not from India. And so,
but Native American doesn't fly either, because man, they came here at some point, did they not?
Who?
The Native Americans. They came here somehow.
Yeah.
When?
But if you look at when the white man came here,
yeah, Who like Adam of ancient in the Bible when he came here, you mean?
I call it. No.
Oh, okay.
After Columbus.
All right. So Columbus. Was Columbus a white man? As far as I understand, he was from Spain, right?
Yeah.
And, is that a white dude from Spain? Is that what's going on?
But when some of the conquistadores came,
yeah,
the Native Americans here, the Aztecs, Mayas, and the Incas, all considered Cook and some of the others white, even though they were still Cook may have been pretty white, but Cortez and others certainly weren't, but they were still held as white gods.
Yeah, but how do you call them white when they're Hispanic and stuff?
I know, and so you could get into that also. So what? How dark was Jesus? Because he was...
Well, he certainly wasn't a white guy.
From the Middle East, yeah.
Olive complexion, maybe? What?
He would have been pretty dark-complected, I think.
Yeah. And you look at that and you go, but when did the Native Americans come here? You know, somebody's got to tell me that if they're going to call them Native Americans. Have they been here since the beginning?
No, I can tell you when and where, but we don't want to get too much into...
Yeah, my only reason to bring that up is that, hey, am I Native now? How long does it take till I'm a Native? Or my children are a Native?
I've called myself Native Arizonan.
Yeah, and here's what's interesting. I brought this up to a guy on an Alaskan cruise one time. And he said, I said, well, I'm a Native. He goes, you're not a Native American. You're an American Native.
Yeah.
What the heck does that mean?
I like that one. So.
Yeah, there you go.
But I really wouldn't know what else to call.
Why don't you call them Americans, my friend? If you did that, we might get rid of these labels and we might stop all this garbage in the first place and realize we're all children of God. And if we obey him, we'll be blessed and we can work together. That's all you got to do.
That's not specific enough for a history lesson.
Why?
Okay.
You want your history lesson to be on racism? Is that what you want to do? You okay, divide on color there?
When I'm investigating a crime and I tell you, okay, who is the suspect? Oh, is that American guy?
Yeah, it's American dude, man.
Yeah. No,
you're right. It doesn't work at all, and I agree with you, but I'm making a point to say that on one hand, they want us to do that. On the other hand, they'll never let us do that because it doesn't make any sense.
Right?
What you need to do is discuss the origins of how people got here, the circumstances in which they came. That's real history. Right?
Yeah, of course.
If you discuss who, when, where, how, where, why, you know, all that. And okay, but I'm not so sure that race needs to be the discussion. Right? Does color need to be part of it, or does the historical relevance need to be part of it?
Well, I'd say both.
Now, hold on. Why both? I'm okay with this, but I'm just going to try to understand. Why both?
Because I think it's historically sound.
Yeah, because it denotes their heritage, sir. That's why.
It shows that we can still be diverse and different and still be the same.
That's exactly right. And so what it does is it documents their heritage is what you're talking about.
Well, yeah.
That is all important. It isn't about the color of someone's skin. It is about the origins and the heritages of a people. And that should be celebrated for all people.
Amen.
And no matter how difficult it's been along the road of past mistakes for a people. See, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormon example, is a microcosm of everyone's example in the world. Even though they're different, that heritage and circumstances and reality is true history, folks.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I was baiting the good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack, a little bit on purpose to get everyone to think. Listen to me very, very carefully. There is nothing wrong with highlighting religious differences. There's nothing wrong with tying people to their religious beliefs. There's nothing wrong with tying people to their race or their differences. Why? Because we need to do so to tie people to their heritage. When people are tied to their heritage, they tend to prosper and have purpose and have stability. But we should not use those differences to divide on the message of hate or never forgiving or reliving the past in a negative way that divides and conquers peoples everywhere. We should celebrate our differences and our cultures and our heritage. We should be able to talk about our race and our religion and the differences. We should be able to tie it to historical reality in a way that builds understanding, a way that has forgiveness at the center and love at the center, and a way that builds understanding and unity, Sheriff. And that's what I'm really trying to get at.
Yeah, I get that.
And when we do it any other way, we either pretend there's no race, which is a lie, okay? That doesn't bring people together. All that does is break people from their heritage so they don't even understand. There's this hodgepodge of no one has any historical heritage or uniqueness or purpose. That's a lie, too. You can't take away people's religion and just say, well, we're all non-religious. We're all the same in every way. It's a lie, and it's not historically accurate, and it doesn't tie people to their heritage that way. And so your point about discussing people's race and the differences is historically valid. I bait you a little bit on purpose because that's what they're trying to do, is erase all that, and it will do just the opposite. It will not bring us together. It'll create the complete massive divide because people hold on to their heritage, and people hold on to the hate and the anger and the past and the mistakes, and we need to do just the opposite is my whole point.
Yeah, I understand that, and I've used that at several of my presentations. I think you've been there once when I did it. Is like I literally look out in the audience and call different races up. It was hard for me to spot a Jewish person, but I would ask, is there anybody of the Jewish persuasion here? Usually somebody would raise their hand. At one instance, I knew who one was, and because he was with us in Caritas, and I can't remember if that was one of the times you were there with us at Caritas or not, but what I do is I call people from the audience, and I'll ask a black person, and maybe a Hispanic person, and a Native American, or a woman, maybe women of different backgrounds. And I literally bring up about 10 people, and everybody's different, race and religion-wise. And then we hold hands, and we raise our hands up in the air, and I tell everybody, this is the solution for America. We're going to take America back. We've got to come together as different people, but as one, and everybody as Americans, and stand for liberty for each other and for all of us, each other and for all of us. And if we keep the divisions, it will not happen, will not work.
I couldn't agree more, and that is the whole point. But we don't do it by blurring our race
Exactly. Into
one big, confusious hodgepodge of nothingness. And we don't do it by abusing the whites because it's now their turn. We don't do it by destroying religious differences or beliefs and say everybody's got to be, quote, a religious, can't be religious at all because any religion is unfair. Or you can't do it by those efforts. They divide and conquer. Now, Ammon Bundy did a video last night, I think it was, that literally talked a lot about this. And in a lot of ways, he's right. He's saying, listen, we need to base our understanding on principle. And people who we think we should never work with, we should be willing to based on principle. And for the most part, I think his points are spot on. Now, he says he's getting thousands of emails and attacks from people that are jettisoning him and abusing him. And I'm sad about that. Again, I think if we're not very careful, we end up, as Ammon Bundy wisely points out, we end up being the haters that we claim we hate. I mean, well, they hate. Well, everybody hates. And we need to be very, very careful that we're really advocating for solutions. Now, when Ammon Bundy then says that he believes that the Black Lives Matter might be the answer, well, he wants to judge individuals in the Black Lives Matter and say, hey, we ought to look at individuals and how they behave and embrace individuals that are trying to do us right and maybe be at leaven in their organizations to help bring about positive change and help them grow in their understanding. I get his point, and I don't disagree on an individual basis. However, some of these groups, in my opinion, you know, it reminds me of a union. And oftentimes where the rank and file are a bunch of great people, but at the top, it's rotten to the core. At the top, they have a different agenda than the average rank and file understands. And so we need to be very careful who we join with, because if we're not super careful, we end up advocating for and or unintentionally endorsing causes which we're 180 degrees from or diametrically opposed to. We need to be very careful there. But in general, I understand the point. And I bring all this up because, you know, the real question is who are the ones that are trying to really bring people together and who are the ones that are really trying to divide? And we need to start to be able to ferret that out. And I think the only way to really do so is to pray and have discernment, Sheriff.
Well, certainly we need to all be praying and fasting and coming together united in this regard. And I will tell you that a group of pastors had invited me to their Black Robe Regiment conference where I was supposed to be speaking in Oklahoma, and then they changed it to Dallas. And the guy that invited me said, called me just about 3 or 4 days ago, where we were once again changing the flight that I had paid for. And he said, I heard that you're Mormon. And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, well, how tied to your religion are you really? And I said, very. And he goes, oh, okay, well, we're having a meeting today. I'll let you know how it goes. And he called me back and he said, they decided they don't want any outsiders. They just want pastors at this meeting. And so I literally got canceled because I'm Mormon. And that's the first time in a long time I've had that happen. I've had it a couple other times.
Well, and that's persecution by the Christians in many ways. And this is kind of what I would step back from and say, we've got to set aside differences, and we've got to be able to work together. I mean, Ammon Bundy made that point, and I'm not so sure I agree with every move he's making. But I'm not going to be a guy that's going to abuse and assault Ammon. I'm going to be a guy that defends him and backs him and says, hey, you know what? We don't have to agree on everything. I believe Ammon, for the most part, is doing a great work, and I think he understands the general point that, you know what, whether it's immigrants, whether it's, you know, whoever it is, we're all God's children, and we need to start behaving like it, sir.
Yeah, no kidding. And for anybody to cause that kind of division among religions today and still and claim that we're trying to, literally, they're trying to get together to save America and at the same time exclude a guy because he's from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's absolutely astonishing to me. And I was really taken aback by it because I've been working with this guy for months.
And did he apologize for his group's attitude or anything?
Oh, heck no. No, not even.
And does he just say, you're the enemy?
I said, after he told me I was canceled, I said, well, I guess it must have been the Mormon thing. And he didn't say anything to that. He did not respond to that. Then he just said, let me know how much I owe you for the ticket.
And I would say it's not a Mormon thing. It's a freedom of religion thing.
Exactly. It is.
Okay, what I mean by that is it's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints issue, although, hey, that's persecution on that face. but it's really of do we believe in America is that you can worship how, where, what you may, or not really?
Yeah, see, that's what I thought all religions were about, but obviously not these group of pastors. And it may have been just him. It may have been just him. I don't know. Maybe he was lying. It appeared to me that he had some dishonesty and deception going on in trying to explain it all to me. And he didn't do it in person like he did when he vetted me about being Mormon.
Well, in fact, in the first place, he obviously, if he discovered you were a member of the church, then vetted you, obviously he may not be the only one, but he's certainly one of them.
But I've been asked to speak at Christian churches all across the country. And I've even had some of the members there come up and challenge me about my religious beliefs, and we discuss it. That's fine. I don't mind that. There's always going to be differences. But what I've told most people, and Pastor Ernie Sanders has me on his show regularly, and he's had me speak at his church. And we disagree with each other extremely on...
On the keys religion, to theology, huh?
On religious doctrine, yes, theology. Yeah. But we're still friends, and we're able to discuss that. But what I tell most people, I said, look, let's wait and discuss our religious differences, and I'd love to have some doctrinal discussions with you, but let's get our country back first. Let's make sure everybody's free to participate in something like that. But when we're not free and we still have all these abuses going on, let's work together to resolve those. And then let's sit down as brothers and sisters and discuss some of our differences and see if we can at least bring some understanding to the table.
Amen. I, for one, though, am not willing to attack Ammon Bundy, even if he does double down and join Black Lives Matter. I personally think the leadership of the organization is problematic, so I won't be doing that. But I respect his right to do that. And you won't catch me attacking Ammon Bundy. I'll defend him and say, hey, he has every right to do what he thinks is best. He has every right to join any group based on principle. He wants to. He says flat out he doesn't agree with them on most things, but hey, when they're right, he says. Now, I can disagree with that, too. I have my own head on my own shoulders, and I can think as I choose, just as he can. But I tell you this, Ammon is a dear friend, and I will defend him. And I will basically defend his right to think and believe and act as he chooses. And I think he's a wonderful gentleman, and I, for one, have Ammon's back. I want that to be publicly said. I don't, for one second, I'm not willing to turn on Ammon over this at all. In fact, I think for the most part, he's spot on. Do you want to respond to this, Sheriff, a little bit?
I'm not as strong on that as you are, saying that he's not making a mistake.
I thought he wasn't making a mistake. I said I wouldn't be joining Black Lives Matter. So yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he has every right to do it if he chooses.
Oh, yeah, he does. And
I'm not going to turn on him for it. I'll tell you that as well.
No, I would trust him with anything still. I think his heart's still in the right place. Same as when you and I disagreed with him when he went to the Malheur building. I disagreed with it, but I know his heart, and I know that he is sincere, and I know that, wow, you know, there came a group that said, let's defund police, and we've been talking about changing the police and cutting back the size and scope of government in our lives. And so somebody jumping on that go, wow, there's a national movement to cut government. But I'm sorry, I could not work with a group that goes around and asks for the killing of cops.
Well, and I also can't work with a group that literally says, one of the leaders of some of these organizations have now said, it's not about equality, it's about destroying, abolishing the United States of America. To me, that borders on treason.
Yeah, well.
All right. Now, I understand that individually there might be a lot of good people in those organizations that do want freedom. I would love to build relationships with them individually and help them.
Then come join the CSPOA and work with me.
Well, good point. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. And this dovetails in the next hour beautifully. We are going to be talking about defunding the police. What the heck does that even mean? Do you back the police? What do you think? We'll talk about it. God save the Republic.